Perception versus the truth. Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
Vote harder! So many times when we're talking about the issues, I hear about election integrity or voter integrity, free and fair elections. And let me just say right now, I don't think that we've had actual free and fair elections on any reliable level. In other words, there's been corruption, but there's been some decent elections in this country where I do think the will of the people has happened. But has that really happened on a mass level the last decade, maybe even two? I would argue no. And constantly, when I'm talking about to people that should, I think, be a little bit more in the know about the 2024 election, it's vote harder, get out there. Even Donnie T himself recently, Truth Social, that what? November, man, what is the date on this? See, I'm going to get it wrong. Is it November 5th or November 9th? Let's just say voting day. On voting day, it's going to be Christian Awareness Day or something like that. Because all the Christians are going to come out and vote for Donnie T. Look, as a guy that doesn't really get into the religious aspects, that's not why I'm voting for him. I don't love the placating. And quite frankly, I don't know if that's reality. And what do I mean? How many times in the last couple of years did you hear red wave? Let's talk Pennsylvania just for a second. I'm an upstate New York guy. I spent a lot of time in Pennsylvania, one of my favorite neighboring states. It's got that upstate New York feel, but you can get to that big city atmosphere in a couple places. Pittsburgh, like it a little less, although I've had some really good times in Pittsburgh. Then Philadelphia. Boom. Love Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia for so many reasons. It's not just the delicious cheesesteak. The people are great. And there's a lot of historical significance in that part of the country. Liberty Bell, anybody? Sign me up. I love it. Do you think, roll it back, do you think that a man who could not speak, and we're not talking about Joe Biden, who clearly had cognitive issues, beat a TV superstar despite political party? Now, I want people really to think about this. We are a celebritard obsessed culture. We care about who's on the big screen, who's in the magic box. Earlier, I talked about America's love affair with Ronald Reagan. Well, a lot of that had to do with him being an actor. Bedtime for Bonzo. Everybody likes to see Ronnie with a chimpanzee. Come on, he's a good guy. That's how it works. Even during my younger life, somebody like Sonny Bono, do you think he gets in political because he's not a celebrity? Of course. And it was down the line. If you had a certain level of fame or celebrity, it was almost a foregone conclusion that you were going to get that position. Fast forward to Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz was extremely popular in what circles? Women's circles everywhere, heads of households everywhere, put on by the master herself, Oprah. Now, you're going to tell me that guy who also destroyed the brain dead guy in a debate didn't win the election? Well, that's because we don't have election integrity. And until any of these candidates or pundits start hammering home not just the fact that all the COVID-1984 nightmare restrictions and policies are still in place, not just the mail-in ballots, not just the harvesting, but the machines themselves, the proprietary software, the inability to audit any of these things does not give me confidence that we can vote harder because that's what they're telling us. And I think a lot of people are going to be in for a large shock this 2024, which I do believe to be the most important election of our lifetime, just like the last election was the most important of our lifetime. Why? We have to constantly be engaged. That's the idea of a constitutional republic for and by the people. The problem is that we do not have a well-informed populace and a fourth estate that's a true media apparatus that is trying to inform that populace so we can combat these things. But you know what you can combat? All the trolls online by sharing TNTradio.live material. Remember, we're 24/7, 365. Give us a follow over on the Facebook, the Instagram, X, Getter, Gab, you name it. And if you can, please consider making that donation right now for independent media like this, not just to survive, but thrive. Quick break back with Adam Clark, a.k.a. The Ruckus, after this.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
As further evidence that the U.S. economy is in trouble, discount retailer Dollar Tree, one of my faves, has announced that it will raise its price cap to $7 on certain items at thousands of its stores across the nation, catching some shoppers by surprise. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. What do you got for us, Adam?
A heaping load of inflation, the death of the U.S. dollar. So other words, not good news. Yeah, this is no bueno. This is actually like turning into a cancer. These little dollar stores are no longer even close to a dollar anymore. I've also seen memes going around. I missed this one, but I guess there's no such thing as a $5 footlong at Subway anymore. Very sad to see that. And then, of course, we have this poor news about Dollar Tree, whose CEO, Rick Dreeling, told investors, apparently very recently, during a conference call on March 13th, quote, "This year, across 3,000 stores, we expect to expand our multi-price assortment by over 300 items at price points ranging from $1.50 to $7, end quote. According to Mr. Dreeling, the higher cost items will include food, pet, and personal care items. He says, quote, over time, or said, quote, over time, you will also see us fully integrate multi-price merchandise more into our stores. So our shoppers will find $5 bags of food next to our traditional $1.25 pet treats and toys, and our $3 bags of candy will be found in the candy aisle," end quote. The hike was meant to meet the needs of the brand's new customer base, which is trending beyond the lower economic stratum and into the market of middle and higher earning clientele. Mr. Dreeling said, quote, "The fastest growing demographic is north of $125,000 a year in income," end quote. However, the Dollar Tree is only the most recent discount retailer confronting heavy pressure as a result of monetary inflation. Last Friday, it was announced that hundreds of 99-cent-only stores nationwide would not be raising their prices, instead closing down, shuttering their stores, citing elevated inflation as a contributing factor. Interim CEO Mike Simmons said in a statement, this is of 99-cent-only stores, quote, "This was an extremely difficult decision and is not the outcome we expected or hoped to achieve. Unfortunately, the last several years have presented significant and lasting challenges in the retail environment, including the unprecedented impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, shifting consumer demand, rising levels of shrink, persistent inflationary pressures, and other macroeconomic headwinds, excuse me, all of which have greatly hindered the company's ability to operate," end quote. We lost all of the 99-cent stores, and now we have $7 items at the Dollar Tree store. And it seems like, Jason, what they're going to do is they're going to basically look and act like any other retailer, like Walmart, and just have the items next to the similar items rather than separating them by price anymore. People are a little upset about this. I'll share some highlights here from users on X/Twitter. So let's see. They're all basically blaming Joe Biden. That's the punchline. This is all Bidenflation. This is Joe Biden's economy. That's where they're going with this. There were a few who said things like, quote, Dollar Tree to officially change the name to Inflation Tree, end quote. Somebody else said something to the effect of Dollar Tree already had to become the $5 tree this year. No way these niche stores will last much longer in this inflation. Now we'll have even more unemployed on the streets of America. And then one user here, Shea Bits Shelley, says, quote, the Dems are getting their way. They are so close to destroying us, end quote. I'm not exactly sure, Jason, if it's just one political party who's done this to America, but I think it is definitely symptoms of a much greater disease facing our country. But what say you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm not blaming this on Biden. I mean, you look at all the money that was printed up during the COVID-1984 nightmare. Certainly his policies have not helped. But, you know, again, the idea that inflation is somewhere between 8% and 13% to as opposed to where Biden was prior. No, that's absolutely ridiculous. The $1.25 from that dollar just shows 25% on most items. And look, Adam, I'm a classy guy. I like to smell good. I don't want to pay $100 for CK1 or anything else. The dollar store is where I get my $1.25 knockoffs. You hear that, ladies? That's who you're dealing with. So I'm a big dollar store fan, fanatic even, when the pandemic was kicking off. That's where I did a ton of shopping for perishable goods, especially black beans. Hell, they weren't even a buck. They were two cans for a dollar. You want inflation? Guess what? Try getting black beans anywhere for under 98 cents to a buck 20. They've more than doubled in price. But let me give a brief history of the dollar store through the eyes of a young Jason Burmes. So when I was a kid and I was in shopping malls, remember when those existed, they're still kind of smattered around, where you could still smoke cigarettes inside and things were cool, I began to see these dollar stores. This was a wonderverse for a poor kid like me. There was again, snowball's chance in hell that I was going to KB Toys or a good toy store to get something priced in that $5 to $15 marker. But the dollar store not only had knockoffs, but every once in a while, lower tier like WWF figures or something like that. And I could maybe get mom to spend that buck on that item. So I was in love with that store, right? Then the 90s happens, and it's not just in my shopping centers. You start seeing these pop up next to larger stores, whether it's Kmart or during the Walmart takeover. And this is kind of a nice little addition that I've utilized, and knowing that some products are much cheaper there. I'll give you another great example. You can get glass phone screens for iPhones and high-end Android devices for a $1, $1.25 that even online cost $5 to $10. It's a nice little price hack, right? A lot of goods were there in that time period. You go get yourself a hammer. You could go get yourself a loaf of bread, rice, top tier canned goods, all there. And that really runs not only through the 90s, but for decades. Let me repeat that. For decades, folks. That ran from the 90s into the 2000s, into the 2010s, all the way up until about 2020 when we start seeing this inflation. Now think about that's a pretty damn good run. Okay. Now, some of the items went by the wayside. Maybe you weren't able to get that hammer, but certainly you could get a low tier plunger. Now, you go into what's left of the dollar store. And when it became $1.25, I said, this isn't good. When they started carrying $3 and $5 items for the dollar store and more, I said, this is it. But now it's gone further. You talked about $7 items. I think that these stores are aiming to survive and eventually become a rival to the Family Dollar, which of course has price variance all the way through, but is a competitor to stores like Walmart. And this is really showing the decline of our purchasing power in this country. And like you said, even families that are making over six figures, think about that, Adam, are now turning towards these type of discount stores just to survive, sir.
Well, I'd like to say I'd buy that for a dollar, but apparently that's not going to get me very much these days, Jason.
No, it's not, but it will get you a bootleg copy of RoboCop. And right now I'm playing RoboCop Rogue City because I game just a little bit. Got to tell you, the TV, the movie's not that entertaining. Game's pretty good for a B game. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Adam tomorrow when we come back. We've got Drew Allen, and we're going to be talking about his book, America's Last Stand. Will you vote to save or destroy America in 2024? Back after this with more TNT Radio.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTRadio.live.
We are now joined by the author of America's Last Stand. Will you vote to save or destroy America in 2024? Drew Allen, thank you so much for joining us, Drew. For those that don't know your background, give it to the audience. And why did you decide to write this book?
Yeah, well, look, I am not, you know, some kind of blind conservative that just loves Trump and that's it. I grew up in Texas. I went to an elitist all-male college preparatory school, a Jesuit school, very liberal. I worked in Hollywood for a long time. I was an actor. In fact, that's what I trained to do. I went to Pepperdine on a theater scholarship. I worked for Marc Jacobs in Milan, Italy. I speak fluent Italian. My point is, most of my life, despite being a conservative, I have been surrounded by lunatics. And it's been okay. And then look, 2020 came along, right? 2020 came along, and all those people that I was friends with, those lunatics, they decided they couldn't be friends with me anymore. And I kid you not, dude, I lost, like, this isn't a sob story. A lot of people had this experience. It's just reality. And it is informative, but I lost, like, my best man in my wedding in 2017, my childhood friends from this Jesuit school, right? They knew that I was conservative. They knew that I didn't vote for Joe Biden in 2020, but they couldn't tolerate me anymore. And so I lost all those friends. And so obviously that kind of activated me to really kind of dedicate myself to politics, which I had been, you know, invested in, pretty fluent in, passionate about, but, you know, that wasn't my career. I was doing fashion, I was doing acting and so on and so forth, producing. So anyway, but here I am. I mean, like a lot of people, it was 2020. And what I'm looking at is a very clear choice, though, in 2024. I understand, you know, Trump doesn't have to be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect human being. But the choice is very clear. It's freedom versus tyranny. That's the simplest way to put it. And basically, it's an existential election in 2024. So anyway, I just want people to know, and as far as street cred goes, you know, I'm not just this guy that grew up in a conservative environment. It's been in an echo chamber my whole life. In fact, I've been in the belly of the beast, to be honest. And I'm still like this, which tells you that I don't know. I'm like forged by fire, or I'm just stupid. I don't know.
I don't think that you're stupid. I think forged by fire is probably the correct way to describe it. You know, I've been politically homeless since my inception into politics. I think it's a good rule to hate most of them and expect that most of them are not only going to disappoint, but to deceive. That being said, like you said, I don't think there are any perfect candidates. And this time around, just like last time around, it's a pretty clear-cut choice that, despite all of Trump's flaws and failures that I've discussed, he is still heads and shoulders above a zombie puppet that doesn't run anything. We basically have a country that is openly being run. I mean, when you want to talk about secret cabals and committees, we're living it right now, and there's no reasonable person that can deny it. Everybody realizes Joe Biden runs nothing. Kamala Harris runs nothing. The rest of the administration, quite frankly, is an unimpressive embarrassment in most cases. I would argue Tony Blinken is a pretty capable warmonger, neoconish kind of guy. He probably is middle management. But outside of that, you don't have a core in that administration, you know, as bad as they were under Bush 2. I knew, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, straight evil, very capable people, Karl Rove, very capable. When you look at this administration, who are people voting for if they vote to destroy the country in 2024? Who is this committee that is running the country?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a bunch of radical ideologues that most of them are from the Obama administration. It's absolutely true that Obama's hand is all over this administration. They're not being secretive about it. I mean, they're publishing articles revealing how he lives down the street. We know that. He's having these meetings with officials in private. He's even calling the Biden team, apparently, to give them strategic advice for 2024. So these are people who grew up that are communist Marxists at heart, who have been trained this way. And of course, they hate America. And, you know, communism, Marxism, wherever it lands, is destructive and it leads to slavery. One of the things I've got to say that I really do love about Trump, you know, and one thing you can say about him is, you know who's in charge when Trump's in there. You know that he's the one making the decisions. You know that he's very, very involved. As opposed to even the Bush administration and so on and so forth. Because, look, in the past with Bush and when you got to Obama and so on and so forth, Bill Clinton, I mean, there was very little change. I mean, basically it didn't matter who was elected president because the same people were running things. I mean, you would have some tax cuts here and there if you had a Republican, but by and large, the shift wasn't that massive. And then you have Obama comes along and he really breaks things, breaks trends in terms of really... Everything was always moving towards the left, but Obama just opened up the floodgates and introduced most of the things we're suffering from now, whether it's destroying single family housing and so on. All of these things can be traced back to things that the Obama administration started. And, you know, the one thing you can say, you know, people may not like Trump's the way he talks sometimes or the fact that he's from Queens. But I'll tell you one thing that Trump didn't do. That is shower inappropriately with his own daughter, which, of course, is what Joe Biden did. I wrote about it in the book and the book came out, you know, in October of last year. We knew about this because there was a federal investigation into that diary and they were prosecuting the individuals for stealing it. And the judge said for stealing the property of someone running for office, et cetera, et cetera. So we've known. And yet, of course, silence. Can you imagine if Trump stop you?
Yeah. Because, you know, you're making it sound like we just knew within the past couple of years. This was publicly available prior to the 2020 election. Forget about the Hunter Biden laptop. We had the Jill Biden diary. She doesn't just say inappropriate showers with her father. She also alludes to the fact that she believes that she was molested as a young girl. She does not name her father as that person or whether it definitively happened, but that is a real document. It is out in the public arena. It was not only ignored, but anyone who brought it up was smeared as a conspiracy theorist. We got to take a quick break for the headlines. When we come back, we've got Drew Allen. The book is America's Last Stand. Go grab it today and stay tuned for more TNT Radio.
Great news.
Good news, everyone.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has stated that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's peace plan to end the conflict with Moscow is unrealistic and cannot serve as the basis for negotiations, during talks with his Chinese counterpart Wang Yi. The United States Institute of Peace, or USIP, has recommended strategies for the U.S. to decrease its dependency on China for essential minerals from Africa.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad, listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, this is TNT Radio.
We are back with Drew Allen. And, you know, Drew, because you brought that up, there are so many points that I think are important about that diary. All right. First of all, let's start with the fact that it was publicly available to the media prior to the 2020 election. Secondly, you look at Project Veritas. They had obtained a copy of it, as did others. No one wanted to publish that thing. National Post actually does publish it. Now, National Post doesn't feel the legal repercussions that Project Veritas eventually does with being involved in getting that. And the smear is, oh, it was somebody else's property. No one stole this thing. All right. This was left in a halfway house. In other words, it was property that was found that is of significant political relevance and should be known by the greater populace. So in my mind, you also saw a lawfare aspect of this, that despite the fact that National Post put it out, they wanted to go after Veritas because Veritas, quite frankly, was more effective in shining the light on a lot of these dark operations. So can you kind of speak to how that media landscape now works? You can actually have real documentation, and it's almost that freedom of reach. The more reach you have, the harder we're coming after you.
Yeah, that's a huge component that no one's talking about. And in fact, Jason, to be honest, I think you might be. I mean, I haven't been paying attention like crazy. I've been busy lately, but I haven't heard anybody else point out the lawfare aspect, because the reality is what they're prosecuting this girl or these two individuals for taking this diary out of a room that was left behind. There's nothing illegal about that. There's nothing in the books about you can't take the, you know, leftover research paper, college exam paper, or, you know, trash that was left behind from a daughter of somebody who's served in government. I mean, this is insane. And by the way, I mean, you have the IRS that effectively leaked, tax documents of Trump. So this happens all the time. There's nothing that happens. And now you want to pretend like some crime was committed because someone picked up something that it's like the laptop. They went after and tried to intimidate the owner of that store when he did nothing wrong. It was his property based on the law, because, you know, a crack pipe hunter, you know, signed his name on a document. If I don't come back in, you know, X amount of months, and he didn't. And so, I mean, this is crazy. But here's the other thing I want to add on to this. The way they're covering this up, I mean, what else don't we know about people? I mean, if they'll go to these types of ends to protect people like Joe Biden, pedophile Biden, and so on and so forth, which I'm not saying that like some uncorroborated. I mean, this is very, very serious. The left is sitting here with Donald Trump and they're calling him a rapist, even though that didn't happen based on E. Jean Carroll's BS from, you know. And here we have a diary in which she literally says showers inappropriately with my father, you know, when I was a young girl. And it's just like they're going to prosecute the girl that found the diary. I mean, this is insane. We don't live in a free country. That's the point.
Absolutely. You know, and because you brought up the laptops and lawfare, you know, you can go to the Hunter Biden laptop, because in the Department of Justice had that again prior to the 2020 elections. I warned everybody from the beginning, Bill Barr wasn't your friend. John Durham wasn't your guy. No one's getting prosecuted. And you can go to another laptop to kind of see the inklings of that. And that would be Anthony Weiner's laptop. Now, prior to it going up into the federal government, the NYPD absolutely did have that laptop, and they were very upset with what they found. In fact, you can see in the documentation, I believe it's in the Russiagate probe, that person wanted the FBI to get over there immediately. None of that information ever came out to the public. Right now, Anthony Weiner is out of jail. He's shopping around podcasts and guest appearances on shows like this one that are on the other side of the fence. And a lot of people think that he did time because of that laptop. Hey, newsflash, everybody. None of that happened. The only reason he went to jail is one of the 15-year-old girls that he was sexting via Skype had what? Taken their conversations, taped them, taken screenshots, and it was her and her family that went to the police. That shows you how corrupt this system is. And that system of corruption has really gotten not only into the Hunter Biden laptop, but Burisma, this classified documents case with Biden himself, etc. So where do you see us going in 2024? Because it seems like right now, unless some kind of crazy October surprise and input of Michelle Obama or Gavin Newsom, as people have speculated, he's the guy. It doesn't seem like we're even going to get one presidential debate. You know, Trump is still on the campaign trail. RFK Jr. is on the campaign trail. That throws a little bit of a wild card in there. But Joe Biden's not campaigning for president, and I don't think he has any intention to debate either one of those men. So what can we expect in the coming months?
Well, I think what people should be really worried about is the fact that obviously another stolen election, and I'm very serious, they're going to use illegals to do it or at least try. I mean, let me just put it this way. The country hasn't changed so much that with a record like Joe Biden's, which rivals any record in the past in terms of how terrible it is, like Jimmy Carter obviously had a terrible record and he got destroyed because of what the circumstances of the economy were. You can go back up to Harry Truman when FDR won, and the only reason FDR won was because of the Great Depression that started under Truman's presidency, so he got blamed for it. So these things have an impact. So those are still on people's minds. So if you were Joe Biden and you're looking at the landscape right now and you have basically alienated even a lot of Democrats from voting for you, let me put it that there's no way that Joe Biden can win fairly in 2024 based on what he's doing. Now, what you might expect somebody desperately running for re-election to do is change their positions, to move back to the center, to try and appeal to that Democrat voter they're losing, to the blue collar voter, to address the issues that are going to sink their campaign, the border, the economy, so on and so forth. Now, I get there's propaganda, but Joe Biden's not doing any of that. The administration is doubling down on the insanity, the very policies that are leading them to their demise. So why aren't they trying to get Americans to vote for them? See, this is the thing that's happening. I can tell you, as a matter of fact, these 10 plus million illegals that are coming in here, whether it's Social Security cards, whether it's motor voter, they're getting on the voter rolls so that they can, I mean, this is the plan, because otherwise, I'm telling you, there's no way that Joe Biden can beat Trump in 2024. I know people want to say this and that, but in 2020, Trump got more votes than he did in 2016. This idea that Joe Biden, who campaigned from the basement, got more votes than Barack Obama in 2000, you know, for his first, you know, election. Insane. It didn't happen. So look, reality is smacking us in the face. And I'm very concerned because there's something else going on. If this administration just continues to treat the American voter like we don't give a you know what about you.
Yeah, no, there is definitely something going on. Where can people get the book? What would you like to leave the audience with?
They can get it on Amazon.com. And look, I mean, I just think that what I would leave people with is you've got to stay in the fight. You can't allow, you know, the media to determine, you know, your attitude, your feelings. You have to get activated and invested because we're the patriots of 2024, as I say in the book. And it's up to us, honestly, whether the country survives or dies. That's the reality. So buckle up, be Americans, don't be pansies. Let's get with the program.
Drew Allen, thank you so much for joining us. Looking good as always, doing good. We like that. We'll see you soon. We got Craig Pastajardula coming up on the other side. We're going to be talking about election integrity, not just here in this country, but across the world. Final segment of my show. I'm Jason Burmis. After this, more TNT Radio.
Here's a bushfire fact. Bushfires can occur without warning. So if you're traveling during bushfire season, here are three simple steps to remember. 1. Check the fire danger rating before you go. The higher the fire danger rating, the more dangerous the conditions. it may be safer to replan your trip. 2. Think about the area you're going to and what you would do if a fire started. How would you escape the area if you needed to? And where would you go? Check if there's a neighborhood safer place. 3. It's dangerous to drive through smoke or fire. If you can't find a way to avoid the fire, park in a cleared area, face the car towards the fire, and turn the engine off. Then lie on the floor and cover yourself to protect yourself from radiant heat. Live bushfire ready. For more helpful tips, visit myfireplan.com.au today.
You ever heard of a polyp? Sounds like a rare species of toad. Actually, it's a lump that grows inside me, your bowel. Look, I'm pretty sure if you had a strange lump growing on your forehead, you might get it looked at, right? But when they're growing inside me, nothing, nada. And the polyps I get can lead to Australia's second deadliest cancer. So, until there's a way to make them grow on your face, it's up to you to get me looked at. Got it?
Clear and concise. This is the Jason Burmis Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
He is the host of the Pasta to Go show, also the Convo Couch, and he is my go-to on all things election integrity. He is Craig Pasta Jardula. Thank you so much for joining us. And yesterday, I had somebody on for almost an hour talking about the Brazilian elections coming up. He is in the Bolsonaro party, and I know that you differ from a lot of people out there in the conservative or alternative media world in thinking that Bolsonaro had his election stolen a couple years ago. So I really want to start there, because you're a guy that doesn't just talk about things or read things or watch news reports and kind of hash them together. You've actually been on the scene. You've been a witness to the election process. So what was your take on what happened in Brazil a couple years ago?
Well, I want to point out that I'm one of those guys, a kind of a rare breed, that thinks that the election in the United States in 2020 had a lot of inaccuracies, a lot of fugaziness. Well, wait, we're not on YouTube, are we? Well, whatever. It wasn't a fair and free, transparent election by any means whatsoever. There was mathematical impossibilities in that election. And coming traditionally from the left, I was kind of snarfed at and smeared and, you know, run into the ground for saying so. However, when I go to Brazil, all the new conservative populist right friends I made, you know, talking with those patriots in the American Project, really didn't go along with my beliefs when I witnessed the Brazilian election. Now, if I had to give it a grade overall, I'd give it a B minus grade, because there are DRE machines, which are direct recorded election devices, in which you kind of go into a room. And don't get me wrong, if you had to ask one of these people, the populist right people, or some of the people in Brazil, would they rather have our election system or Brazil's election system? I think they'd still say Brazil's election system. You still must vote at your designated location in Brazil. You must have an ID, Jason. What a crazy idea, radical idea that is. You must have an ID to vote. It's on one day, a national holiday, a Sunday. And guess what? You get results that night. There are no mail-in ballots in Brazil. There are no absentee ballots. You have to show up where you're at and where you're supposed to be and record your election. Now, the reasons why I do think it was not a fraudulent election. First off, a lot of people don't mention the fact that Bolsonaro won 7 previous elections before that under the same system. Never heard a peep about complaining about it, was fine with it when he won. This time, when it was turned upside down and he lost, all of a sudden these accusations came out. And it was led by one particular group, a guy by the name of Matthew Turman, who happened to not even be there for the elections. And I kind of found out he was gleaning my Twitter, because as I was kind of debunking everything they were putting out there, they were changing their story. Now, in the Brazilian election, just like a lot of other countries I go to, the results for each precinct or each mesa, they would call them in Colombia, like a table, they would put right outside the door or right outside the table. The chain of custody would start at the door. The only difference is that these were like almost like a cash register machine. I checked to see if anything was connected to the internet. It was not. I went to see an opening I saw a closing in an affluent area in Sao Paulo, and all the results were put outside the door. Now, Bolsonaro was involved with several elections beforehand. He was involved with a general election in which he won. He would have a blueprint, Jason, on which areas would be his stronghold and which areas would be his weak parts. If there were rooms that were tainted or areas that were tainted, they should have been caught on the spot in Brazil. Plus, if there were machines hooked up to the internet, they should have been called out on the spot in Brazil. None of that happened. The affluent area that I was in, now this doesn't prove that it is not rigged, but the affluent area that I was in, the 14 rooms in the one precinct that came out all went to Bolsonaro, but by a very slight margin. And this is supposed to be a Bolsonaro stronghold. And that told me right there, because of the voting you would expect in the favelas, which was all Lula territory, the poorest of the poor, they love Lula, it was going to be hard to beat him. It was an uphill battle. I actually think Bolsonaro coming that close, that he overachieved. But I didn't see any evidence that showed that Bolsonaro was cheated. Now, at the end of the day, I can say, honestly, I don't know 100%, because with the DRE machines, you can never be sure, right? But I didn't see anything connected to the internet. I saw the results out in front. It should have been called and flagged. They would have flagged that room, this room, that room, this room, held those machines there. None of that happened. All the chitter chatter came after. So in my personal professional assessment, I would say that Lula did win by a slight margin.
So then what are your thoughts after the fact on the lawfare that's been waged against Bolsonaro? From my understanding, he's not, as of right now, going to be able to run for the presidency in the next couple of years. This kind of harkens to the lawfare that's being waged against Trump and the attempts to get him off the ballot in states and really not have him as the nominee here in the West. So a lot of people draw parallels. What are your thoughts of that process of lawfare over there, and then kind of compare it to what we're seeing here?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities there. You know, what we're seeing to what's happened with Donald Trump and what's happening to Jair Bolsonaro. And listen, I was totally against it. You know, my lefty friends, I gave them a bit of a lip when I saw that the Supreme Court had ruled that Bolsonaro cannot run in the next two elections. I thought that was awful. I thought they should never do that whatsoever. You know, I think the nuance is left out of this whole situation. And I'm not saying two wrongs make a right, but, you know, the whole persecution that Lula had faced when our State Department in the United States instructed Brazilian judges to go ahead and frame him and put him in jail. Now, there'll be a lot of people within Brazil, when I talk to them, they'll say Lula is a criminal. And I'll say, well, you know, they proved that what had happened to him, he was set up by the United States, and that's why they had to let him go. And they'll say, no, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Doesn't matter. The United States shouldn't be interfering with those elections over there, that process whatsoever. Shouldn't have had Lula jailed. But it seems like it's a psyop of a psyop. I believe a lot of what happened on January 8th in Brazil kind of mirrored what happened over here in January 6th. It was not an overthrowing of the government whatsoever. In fact, from what I understand, people said what happened in Brazil was a lot lighter than happened in the United States. And what happened in the United States was far from a revolution of sorts or a takeover, right? An insurrection, far from that. It was just people voicing their opinions on an election they thought was fraudulent, and they have every right to do so. And what we're seeing today from the Supreme Judge over there, Alexandre de, I get his name wrong all the time.
De Rojas, but, I believe.
No, it's the Meso.
Oh, yes, you're right. Maez. You're correct.
I get it. Yes. I have it down here somewhere. I get it wrong all the time, but he is that same judge. He was hated by the left at one point because he withheld an impeachment from Lula's party at one point and removed that leader. I forgot her name, from office, whatnot, and the left hated her. Now it turns around. The left loves her for what she's doing to Bolsonaro. But this seems to be engineered from on top. It's almost like what's happening over here, Jason. January 8th, January 6th. It's very, very funky. But I'm going to say this right off the bat. I do not agree with what's happening. This is very different when people try to make the analogy like, well, in Nicaragua, they threw out parties that were getting funding from other countries. In other words, the NED, I think, was funding the Somoza Party in Nicaragua, and Nicaragua threw them off the ballot, said, no way, you're getting funding from another government. What they're doing in Brazil is not equivalent to that, because what they're doing is they're suppressing the voice of the people. They're going after the citizens there, and that's where I draw the shit line. You don't do that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to curse.
So let's shift gears to the United States. I just had Drew Allen on the program. He and many others feel like this massive illegal migration has been set up to allow them to vote. They think that this is going to be the mechanism that pushes Joe Biden over the edge if, in fact, he is able to take the 2024 election. I've often posited that a lot of the institutions that came into being, rules and regulations via COVID-1984 in our election systems, have not been rolled back. And of course, we've never really addressed in this country the machines themselves, the fact that they are proprietary software and that they cannot be audited. So coming up on this election, how much impact do you believe that this illegal migration is going to have? Is that the plan? And what do you foresee in the next coming months?
Well, two, I don't look at it as an illegal migration, Jason. I look at us occupying their territory with 100 bases in Latin America. When I went to observe those elections, I saw these bases, these military bases. For instance, the one near Tegucigalpa in Honduras has 1,500 servicemen there, U.S.-trained military men there that once were part of the whole training of the army that removed Manuel Zelaya, because we didn't like the United States State Department. We didn't like the fact that Manuel Zelaya was, enriching his people with his natural resources, and he joined ALBA. So the reason why they're coming here is because we are there. Second part, I'm sorry, but illegal immigrants don't vote in mass. They just do not do that. They hide in the shadows for the majority of them. They're perfect citizens. They try to be as peaceful as they can, make their money, sending home, and then one day go home there to retire. What people are doing is they're being distracted from the real issue. You nailed one of them, proprietary software. You can change the vote, because in the United States, unlike Honduras, unlike Nicaragua, unlike Brazil, where the vote is cast, it's not counted. It's taken to another location, breaking the chain of custody, and who knows where it happens. And a lot of times it's on the thumb drives that can be altered. They can just switch them out when they're driving them over and then get those votes and change it. Or they're bringing the votes over, and what happens on that trip from leaving the precinct going to the counting room? But the area of most concern, Jason, like you said, the rules that were put into place during COVID, a lot of them have now been permanent, those rules made permanent in areas like Arizona and areas like Nevada. The problem with that is people don't look at who makes your ballots. I call them mail-out ballots. When you get a ballot to mail in, you have to mail it in for your vote. But there's no chain of custody, by the way, when that happens, when you mail out that ballot or you stuff it in a drop box in the middle of nowhere. But when the ballot is mailed out from the company that makes your ballot, there's also zero chain of custody. So there's no chain of custody anywhere. That contractor who makes the ballot works for the person who signs the contract. And usually that's the Secretary of State, that's the governor. So they can make as many ballots as they want. And with ballot harvesting being legal in 27 states, they can stuff the ballots anywhere. That's where the major problem is coming from. It's the actual ballots that are being made from these fugazi contractors that work for these secretaries of states and these elections officials. Remember, Jason, Joe Biden won the top of the ticket, but the Republicans won the coattails. So they're all in it together.
Well, I don't like many a mainstream politician. There's only a handful that I can stomach overall. I guess the next question I have for you is, do you expect, you know, there are some people that don't think that we're going to have an election. I think your point to the immigration is you don't necessarily have to have them vote. You just have to have the appearance that they are going to vote and the narrative that they did vote. And then, you know, you just censor social media and that helps put it over the board. Do we have any debates on the run-up to this election? We only got one presidential debate last time. RFK Jr. did everything he could to try to be on the Democratic ticket, was unable to do so. I've posited maybe the possibility of Donald Trump versus RFK Jr. However, I think that may hurt Trump, and a lot of people are underestimating the amount of votes that a guy like RFK Jr. can pull from that base, being anti-war, speaking out against the vaccine when this ex-president is still praising it, even more so than perhaps Joe Biden. On the flip side of that, I don't even see Joe Biden running for president right now. He's not campaigning. Yeah. He can't speak. I don't think that he has any intention of debating. So in light of the idea that there wouldn't be a Trump-Biden debate, does Trump jump in there and take on RFK Jr., or does the unthinkable happen and we have a three-way debate in this country?
I don't think we're going to have any debate whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's going to happen. You know, and the funny thing to kind of think about, really, to tell you the truth, how powerful RFK could have been, right, had he not had these crazy Zionist views. And whether people want to admit it or not, whether you're a populist right who goes along with Trump saying, beautiful, beautiful Israel, the majority of the people want a ceasefire. They don't want us funding Israel. You can't be America first if you're going to be Israel first. I'm sorry about that. So the crazy thing is, going back to RFK, is that the power he came coming out, I wouldn't consider him to be anti-war anymore because of his stance on Israel-Palestine. But what he did in the very beginning was he brought the anti-establishment movement together. A lot of us anti-imperialists, you know, the rage against the war machine, with some of the libertarians coming together, and also the people on the populist right, you know, who were against all the COVID protocols, we were all together. After this Israeli situation happened and RFK took that stance, he put a spike right in the middle of that and split the anti-establishment movement. So right now I'm seeing nothing but dark days in front of us, because there's no unity whatsoever. We don't have a candidate. The people are still screaming at each other about all their differences, whether it be their race, their team, you know, their height, their weight, everything. They're not realizing that we all have a common goal and we are all in the same class. It's the oligarchs and the rest of us. And unfortunately, Jason, there's nobody that can bring us all together, let alone a debate about ideas. It's not going to happen.
Is there a possibility that this election gets postponed? Because that has also been posited by some pretty legitimate pundits. We are, you mentioned Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Russia going nowhere. We've got strikes in Syria. If in fact some type of military situation were to pop off, or an event, false flag or otherwise, nuclear or otherwise, at such a scale, could this be the first time in American history that we postpone an election?
Well, you also forgot about Venezuela, Guyana, and Mexico, Ecuador, right? Everything Brazil's going on, the whole nine yards. Africa's on the fritz. Forget about it. It's going crazy. However, I don't think so, Jason, because we don't have elections in the United States. We have selections. They have all the ways to give you the results they want. They give us this illusion of choice by putting team A out there, team B. They're even saying, hey, look, it's like the McRib, RFK. You know, it's a special item coming out there, but we're really not getting
pickles and onions, baby. No.
I just don't think, Jason, they don't have to do that, Jason. They have every single way. You had mentioned the proprietary software. I mentioned the mail-in ballots. People are just, you know, disenfranchised because it takes hours to go vote, so they're not even participating. They have everything the way they want it right now. So why would you have to delay something that you can get the outcome you want no matter what? You know, and if the solutions coming from the populist right, oh, we're going to fly drones over the precincts, like that's going to do something. You know, they were looking for the fraudulent players within a fraudulent system. No, you don't look for the fraudulent players within a fraudulent system, because the system is the fraud itself. And yet so many people from the populist right are still screaming about China, for crying out loud, rather than look in the mirror and realize it's their own country that is screwing them.
Pasta, we have run out of time. Let people know where they can find your stuff.
My new show, Pasta2Go, on Rumble, YouTube, Twitter, and Rockfin. And you can always catch me at Yo Pasta on Twitter. We got all the bells and whistles there. Thank you, Jason, for letting me come on.
Thank you, sir. And thank you guys for checking out the show here at TNT Radio. 8 to 10 p.m., 5 days a week. That's Eastern time, because we're global, not in Australia, folks. Guys, it's not about left or right to me. It's never going to be. It's always about right and wrong. I absolutely love you, and we'll see you tomorrow on the flip side.